past week I was preparing my sermon, and I came to Friday, and I had this sermon already prepared, and then God says, I don't think so. So I had to take half of that sermon, and now I'm going to tell you about it. So you have plenty of time for lunch. First of all, I hope everyone had a great holiday. There was a king in Africa who had a close friend that he grew up with. The friend had a habit of looking at every situation in life and saying, this is good. One day, the king and his friend went out on a hunting expedition. The friend would load and prepare the guns for the king. The friend had apparently done something wrong in preparing one of the guns. For after taking the gun from his friend, the king fired it, and he blew his thumb off. Examining the situation, the friend remarked, as usual, this is good. To which the king replied, no, this is not good, and proceeded to send his friend to jail. About a year later, the king was hunting in an unsafe area. Cannibals captured him and took him to their village. They tied his hands, stacked some wood, set up a table, set up a stake, and bound him to it. As they came near to set fire to the wood, they noticed that the king was missing a thumb. Being superstitious, they never ate anyone that was less than whole. So they untied the king and set him free. As the king returned home, he was reminded of the event that had taken his thumb and felt remorse for his treatment of his friend. He immediately went to the jail to speak with his friend. You're right, he said. It was good that my thumb was blown off, and he proceeded to tell his friend all that had just happened. And so I'm very sorry for sending you to jail. It was bad for me to do this. No, the friend replied, this is good. The king looked at him and asked him, what do you mean this is good? How could it be good that I sent my friend to jail for a year? His friend replied, if I had not been in jail, I would have been with you. Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that in all things, God works for the good to those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In this illustration, all things work good for the king and his friend. But is that how life usually works for us? Maybe. Sometimes. Or is it more like, why me? Why am I going through this? Why am I experiencing all this pain and heartache? Is there anyone up there who cares? These are familiar questions asked by many Christians and non-Christians alike. In life, no one is immune to suffering and adversity. The Bible tells us man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Now, what are some of the reasons why people suffer? Some suffer for what they've done. Some suffer for what others have done to them. And many suffer because of the circumstances of which are out of their control. Pain is distressing. It's no fun. How often do we think God is unfair? And it seems like he really doesn't care. And there appears to be no help or answer in sight. But God has an answer for all of our problems. And that answer is in this great promise. This promise, by the way, was my favorite verse when I was first saved. And it says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Today, I'd like to examine this verse more closely and see how it applies to our lives. First, this promise clearly declares that God works all things together for our good. During times of great tragedies, when things are collapsing in and around us, we could remember that God works together all things for our good. The alls in the Word of God are very important. In this verse, the all lets us know there's not a situation. There is not a problem that we will ever experience that He doesn't have control of. He is in charge of all things. Now, it's important to understand that our text is not saying all things are good, or that the sum total of all things are good. All things are not good. Some things are bad. In fact, some things are just plain evil. Take, for example, this past April when a gunman opened fire at Virginia Tech, killing 32 people before turning the weapon on himself. Or this past month, a mall shooting in Omaha, Nebraska, where 8 people were killed when a gunman opened fire in a crowd of shoppers and employees. Innocent people going about their daily lives, performing their jobs, shopping for the holidays, men and women who didn't deserve the fate that they were given. How could any good come from these situations? Let's bring it a little closer to home. How many of us know of children who are cut down by cancer or by a drunk driver, or drug addicts who came from good homes, or family men who lost their jobs, or soldiers who returned from battle with one less limb? We all know of countless tragedies and needless suffering. Who could understand why they happened? And are any of these things good in and of themselves? No, they're not. And that's not what the Scripture says. It says that in all things God works for the good. Not that all things are good, but that God causes them to work together for good. You see, God is at work in all things, whether they're good or evil, to bring about His good purpose in our lives. God is still working out the good in the Virginia massacre. God is still working out the good in the Omaha mall shooting. He is still working good in the lives of those we know whose lives have been shattered by circumstances outside of their control. God is at work. He hasn't left the scene. He's causing these events to shape their lives, no matter how tragic they are. He's working for His greater purpose in their lives as they turn to Him in the midst of their troubles. The question for us today is, what are you facing that seems insurmountable? What are you facing that appears to be no solution in sight or doesn't have a possibility of turning out good? Are you turning to Christ? Are you trusting Him to work it out for your good? Are you having the patience to do it? He will, if you allow Him. Now, there is a condition here. This promise is for believers. It says that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. People who don't know Christ, who have not entered in a personal relationship with Him, are not included in this promise. Their lives are in a downward spiral. They have no hope. They have no one to turn to when things go wrong. They don't understand why things are happening. And they often feel helpless. But for the Christian, they don't have to despair because there is hope. They are not helpless. They have someone they could share their problems with. They have someone who cares for them. They have someone who loves them. God is there. He's working it out for His greater purpose. The hope for them is not that they will escape evil. The hope for them is that they have a God who loves them, who cares for them, and who is able, even in the midst of those trying circumstances, to show them the way through, to walk through with them, and to help them live victoriously in spite of those difficult situations. Now, in this context, Paul expresses two requirements for the good to take place. Again, Paul is not giving this promises to all people, but to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Let's take a look at the first condition. And that is to love God. You see, God is not after a certain level of holiness in our lives, or even perfection. We are all imperfect, and believe it or not, we will die imperfect. He simply wants our love, and our devotion. If we love him genuinely, passionately, then he can work in our lives. If we love him more than we love our own life, if we love him more than we love our own possessions, if we love him more than anything else, then he will work to our good. You see, if we love God with all of our hearts, then in the midst of those difficult circumstances, because we love him, we will turn to him. And he will lead us through no matter what we're experiencing. This is his sovereign promise to each one of us. This is the first condition, that we love him with all of our heart. Now let's look at the second condition. His eternal purpose for us as believers. It says in the latter part of verse 28 that we have been called according to his purpose. What is that eternal purpose God is working out? Verse 29 tells us, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. God has a plan for our life. It's amazing how many of us don't understand that. In fact, it's amazing how many of us truly don't believe it. When we were called into the kingdom, God had a specific plan that he wanted to implement in each of our lives. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Unfortunately, when we came to Christ, we asked him to forgive us our sins. We attended church, and it pretty much ended there. Most of us don't think much about what God wants to do in our lives. God has a plan. He has a purpose, which will serve to advance his greater purpose. We're all part of it, and all of us are a valuable part of it. But not only does God have an individual plan for us, he has an ultimate plan, which is the same for all of us. In verse 29, let's hear it again. We are predestined to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. God's calling for every Christian is that we would be conformed to the likeness of his Son. In other words, God is about the business of making us like Christ. In our nature, he is making us like Christ. In our character, he is making us like Christ. In our work, he is making us like Christ. In our attitude, he's making us like Christ. And in our priorities, he's making us like Christ. God is calling us to be like his Son in every way. And that is the calling for every Christian here. That's the ultimate purpose. The hardships, the trials that we endure, are serving to bring about that greater end. The Apostle Paul, one of God's most faithful servants, suffered all sorts of things. He was persecuted. He was almost stoned to death. He was shipwrecked. He was in prison. And eventually, he lost his life for Christ. Even God's best was not immune from suffering, and neither are we. God is in the business of molding us, changing us, shaping us, working in our life to conform us into his Son. What greater privilege do we have than that? How many of us are struggling with something right now? Something that appears to have no solution. God knows your struggle. He knows where you are, and he knows exactly what you need. You might be surprised by just how much you are precisely where he wants you to be in conforming you into the image of his Son. What he wants for you to do is the following. He wants you first to yield to him, to trust him as he works it out. Trust him as he works all good things for your good. Now, we have already seen that the promise is not for everyone. Can you claim that promise for yourself today? In order to do that, you have to know Christ as your Savior. That's the requirement. Have you given your life to Christ? If not, I urge you to do it today. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to come into your heart and your life. ask him to make you a new creation. The scripture tells us right now is the day of salvation. Don't delay. Do it now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this great promise. A promise that allows us to trust in you no matter what we're going through. Father, we always thank you for always being there for us. Father, during this time of waiting for an answer, help us to be patient. Help us to abide in you. And help us not to give up. And Father, there are some here this morning who claim this promise. But you are calling them into the kingdom. Father, help them make that commitment this morning. Help them to trust you with all their heart. Help them to take the step to obtain eternal life so that you can work all things together for them. In Jesus' name, amen.